tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, June the 25th, 1979. Summer camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Reverend David Bunch of Van Nuys, California is a teacher on this.
How many have remembered what our Brother Lee has been teaching?
Now, for the tape, I want to say that this is Brother Bunch from Van Nuys, California, teaching this morning's session.
This is not clear as it should be, but it's beyond our control.
Praise the Lord. I want to be careful that I don't overlap on the other ministries. There is one thing unique about our church, and that is that we have guarded very carefully that it is balanced, and we believe and have practiced deliverance. God has given us a great insight in that area, and God has given us the chain of command, clear from the trinity of satanic power on down to the modius or the crown that Satan places upon every living soul. Our brother Chuck was speaking yesterday about how that the crown of thorns, the pierced hands, the pierced feet, and all of these things are not by accident but are very definite messages to you and to me concerning what God has for His children. As the physical body of Christ, so the spiritual body of Christ. And the crown, in particular, is that right that God has and has reserved because of Calvary to replace the crown that Satan has placed upon us and his rulership and what he claims upon the flesh with the crown of glory. The Bible says he's coming and he's bringing a diadem of beauty. And this will be our last deliverance, and it will be at the hands of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he crowns his children and brings them a crown of glory because of Calvary. The first hand is the hand ministry that we have enjoyed in Pentecost, the laying on of hands, even to the point of particular ministries being dictated by or typified by the fingers. The Bible says, by the finger of God I cast out devils. Just as there are healing ministries, there are prophecy ministries, there is the ministry of the finger of God, which is a particular ministry of casting out demon powers in the ministry of that. But there are so many different phases here, and I'm going to try to restrict myself or bring in what we spoke about last night a little bit and share it with you. We spoke of concerning Peter getting out of the boat. And the picture that is there in such beauty of God's overall plan. He was with them. He fed them. Then he sent the ship on out, his people, his church, as he went up into the mountain to intercede in mediatorial ministry. Then in the fourth watch at night, he comes back to the boat in a mystical way, in a way they hadn't anticipated. He came walking on the water. And when he got back to the boat, they were afraid. Many are afraid of the move of the Spirit. Even in Pentecostal realms, many are afraid of speaking and cleansing as far as a deliverance is concerned. But one called Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, you bid me come. And there will be those that will listen. The others will power in the boat. They'll be safe. They'll make the other side. But if you're going to be a part of the ministry of this last day of the man-child, you'll listen and you'll separate yourself." I remember being in San Francisco, I guess it's around 20 years ago when we were in a revival meeting there. And there was a gentleman from South Africa. And he was excited that morning. We went to a minister's meeting. And he was excited to relate something that had happened to him the night before in a dream. And he stood and he said, "Last night, God lifted me up, and he lifted me up from the earth, and he said, Son of man, watch and learn. And he said, I saw two lines of people, as far as the eye could see. Keep in mind now, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And I saw, he said, as the Spirit of God came down and began to speak to these different people in the two lines. And they had their hands up, some praising the Lord, some in silent worship, but they were worshiping and honoring God. And every once in a while, one of them would separate themselves and go out and form a third line. But the line didn't grow. They would go back. Those that were in the two lines would go back praising the Lord and ministering in praise. But every once in a while, another one would go out and form a third line. When that third line got pretty full, all of a sudden God, with a big hand, reached down and took that third line and threw them. And suddenly he saw the earth. And everywhere they landed, there was a great fire burning. Here is your third veil experience. Many are called, but you are chosen. Not talking about salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for as you know how to give gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? But he's talking about that third veil experience. That last day ministry, that going on into the Holy of Holies, into the fullness of the presence of God. And so it was that God is going to call a people out of the people. Jesus came back to the boat, and Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And by faith and in confidence in the Word of God, you know, and this is so important. So important. We're so steeped. We're so wrapped. We're so indoctrinated with tradition. The most people would stand up and say, well, now, Lord, we can't walk on that water. Or we'd take the humble route. Well, Lord, I'm so unworthy. Huh? Bless God, I'm a child of the King. Amen. And so Peter got out of the boat and he walked on that water. What he did was taste of the supernatural experience of joint heir with Jesus Christ. An experience of the supernatural. You see, God's going to have a people in this last day. And the more I study, the more I realize that it's not a quickening of the gifts of the Spirit. Corinthians says, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. And he speaks and he says, knowledge will cease, and prophecy will cease, and tongues will cease. This is the ministry in part. We enjoy it. Thank God for the part. Amen? But when that which is perfect is come, we will know him as we are known. We won't need a word of knowledge. We will have the knowledge. For we will be like him. For we shall see him. As, how is he? Is he saying, well, Lord, give me a word? Or does he know? Huh? We shall be like him. That last day ministry will be the spiritual body of Christ and minister in that power. For when that which is perfect is come, and that's Christ, that which is in part. And remember this, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, those that were in the holy place and ministering there, and they were priests, and the holy place is a type of those filled with the Holy Ghost. The outer court deals with salvation, And the blood sacrifice, and the brazen altar, and the water laver. It deals with the things of salvation, of holiness. Then the second veil speaks of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you find that the light that is there is the light of the oil, which is the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is there in the candlestick. And the gifts of the Spirit are there. And the last day ministry is there, and the golden altar of incense. And if we had time to study it, we see that even the dimensions of that golden altar are 2 cubits, 1 cubit by 1 cubit, and 2 cubits high. And these are the dimensions of the two witnesses in the last day. For the Bible says, I'll give power unto my two witnesses, and they are 2 olive trees. And 2 candlesticks. 2 and 2. And two, the dimension of man. And two, the dimensions of God. This is another Bible study. I'm meddling now here. But you see what I mean? It's all interwoven. One of the things that thrilled me about Brother Lee Ellingwood's ministry was not that we were teaching the same thing, but we were coming to the exact same result. For he was teaching in a whole different line of scriptures that absolutely taught the exact same message that I was teaching from a whole different source of scripture. And thus we became one in the spirit and in that fellowship. And I've enjoyed that relationship that we have in the Lord. And so this third line became a great tool in the hand of God. Now, there are things that God will be revealing in this last day concerning this ministry and concerning what they will be like that will minister in the power of the age to come, who will minister in God's Sabbath day. God's Sabbath day. Remember, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 8, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." And we find that in 6 days, God created heaven and earth. And on the sixth day, he created man. Really, the seventh day was man's first full day. And on the seventh day, God rested from all of his work. Now, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And it is by an approximately 4,000 years before the birth of Christ that man was created. Now, I got that from Archbishop Usher's chronology that's usually in Schofield's Bible. He went back to that portion about this so-and-so begot so-and-so begot so-and-so. You know the part you never read? And he came up with 4,004 years before the birth of Christ. It has been approximately 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. That means we're in the sixth day, or the 6,000th year. And he is going to give birth to a man child that will rule on the seventh day. He is placed over into the throne of God, and he rules with a rod of iron. Now, there is a fallacy that is preached that I know the lion will lay down with the lamb. The animals have always been smarter than man. But that doesn't mean, just because Satan is bound for 1,000 years, that all of the satanic force and demon powers are suddenly taken with him. The last day ministry, the man-child will cast those one by one as he rules the nation, as he spoils the government and the powers that have been corrupted by sin and immorality, as he brings this world into a place of peace. There's going to be great ministry. Don't tell me that neighbor of yours that's given you trouble all these years is suddenly going to have an operation of lobotomy and now he's going to be docile sweet. He's going to come, if he comes through the tribulation period and comes out into that, he's going to be rebellious. And thus the rod of iron. If we're all sweet, then why the rod of iron to rule the nation? You see, because this last day ministry is going to have great power. Now, I've brought this in, and there's a great deal more that could be elaborated and filled in this area. And I'm sure if I'd have known before, about 10 minutes ago, I could have brought maybe a charter or got my thoughts together. But you're going to have to go along with me, all righty? Are you still here? Okay. Now, I don't mind you closing your eyes. I don't mind you looking at the watch, but don't anybody get out a calendar. That'll bother me. All righty. Okay, just a little joke there. My wife usually says, yeah, very bad one. But I want to show you a correlation or a collaboration between Peter walking on the water and the birth of this man-child. You see, the birth of this man-child is Peter getting out of the boat. The boat, a type of the woman or the church. And out of that woman is called the man-child. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, let's speak of this woman just for a little bit and see what we have concerning her and establish something here in the 12th chapter. And remember this, beloved, you're going to have to learn to follow the leading of the Spirit. Isaiah 28 says, "Unto whom will I impart knowledge? To whom will I give wisdom? But he that is weaned from the breast, or weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For it must be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little." How the theologians have always said, and I, by the way, I was a Baptist minister, pastoring a Baptist church, and about 28 years ago, I was born out of season. When God reached down, when I visited a Pentecostal church, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost right in the platform in front of everybody. I mean to tell you, they came unglued, and so did I. Oh, my. I remember trying to hug the piano player. And, you know, those days they used to say, hug, get up and hug somebody, but don't get mixed up. The men hug the men. I don't know what they had in the church, but I've found, beloved, it doesn't say anything about that. Amen. I don't know if your spirit's wrong. Well, then that's fine. But I don't believe that we in the last day should walk with that in mind. But we should love one another. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, and so God filled me with the Holy Ghost right on the platform. What happened? I went back to the church where, not that I was preaching, I went back to the church where I was ordained, had my papers with, and they kicked me out. Yeah. I went back to the church where I was preaching and preached on the baptism, and they said, "That's wonderful. It's for today." And I said, "Yeah." And between them and the next week, they found out it was Pentecost, and they kicked me out. Well, the church, the Baptist church in Chula Vista, is now a great charismatic church. Deliverance, speaking in tongues, dancing in the Spirit. I was just born out of season, that's all. And so, the background a little bit. Here in the 12th chapter, I want you to notice with me. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." Now it says S-U-N, but over in Malachi 4, it says there, "Unto them that fear the Lord shall the S-U-N of righteousness appear with healing in his wings." The sun that we enjoy is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives life. We are the moon. We reflect that life. We have no life in ourselves, but we receive that life and reflect that life from God. Amen? And so here it's speaking, and this woman is clothed with the sun, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our covering. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our peace. He is everything we need to be. We don't need to say, "Well, I'm unworthy." He's our worthiness. We don't need to say, "I can't," and preach Satan's gospel. We can preach God's gospel and say, "I can do all things through Christ." Amen? He is everything you need to be a victorious Christian. There's nothing lacking in him. The life that I now live in the Spirit, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not thinking of him, but I appropriate his faith. Corinthians says, "He has been made unto me wisdom and righteousness and justification." He is my wisdom. And so if I will learn to appropriate what he is, the limits of my wisdom are the limits of God himself. And my righteousness, he is my covering. So this woman is clothed with the sun, and the moon is under her feet. It speaks of a victorious woman, a victorious church that has brought the fleshly man under subjection, has control over it, it's under her feet, you see. And we could speak of the feet area here. The last thing to be born in a natural birth are the feet. And the last thing that will be born in the body of Christ will be the feet area. And they will be washed. That's why Jesus washed their feet. No, Peter said, well, not me, Lord. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of the kingdom. He said, wash me all over. He said, oh, no, just your feet. You see, it's the feet area that's going to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of enemies. We're edging up to it. We're enjoying the new reality and the new deliverance we have. But there's coming a day in that seventh day when the power of God, when the withered hand will be restored on the Sabbath day. And when the Word of God will be opened on the Sabbath day. Jesus did almost 80% of his miracles on the Sabbath day. He's trying to tell us something, don't you see? And here this woman is clothed with the sun, his righteousness, and she has victory. She's an overcomer. It's the overcomer in the book of Revelation that is going to be robed in white. It is the overcomer that is going to sit on the throne with him. It is the overcomer that will eat of the hidden manna. Now, where is the hidden manna? It's in the Holy of Holies, beloved. Those that go through the third veil will eat of the hidden manna. Hallelujah. There's a calling. God is calling for a people to separate themselves. Although there are those that say, well, they're already out, you know, and or they're a part and they're already a part of this. Don't you believe it? When it's born, it won't be born and still look like me. It will have its glorified body caught over into the throne of God. Changed. And thus no longer a ministry in part, but a supernatural ministry as the body of Christ going forth. Are you still with me? All right. I had one man in a revival stand up and say, Brother Bunch, we can't talk with our mouth, so go ahead and preach. So if you got the mouth, so just wiggle your head once in a while so I know you're still there. Okay. The woman is clothed with a sun. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with a child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God. And they should feed her there 1,260 days. She is said there exactly the same period of time as the ministry of the two witnesses, as the ministry of the man-child. Alrighty? Now, this birth of the man-child is Peter getting out of the boat. This birth of the man-child is 2 Thessalonians, where the normal church has preached the rapture. This happened just in the turn of the century, when two ladies had a vision and they saw people going up and they found this scripture trying to substantiate a rapture. But really, if they would have asked God, you see, this is a great error with men. They have a vision and then they interpret it in the flesh and respond in the flesh. If God gives you something, then God can give you what to do with it or the interpretation of it. And if he doesn't, I'd question the source. Because God doesn't give you something in the spirit and expect you to work it out in the flesh. He will guide you. And so they interpreted it as the whole church going up. It isn't. It's the man-child being born. It is Peter getting out of the boat. It is this last day ministry that the people going through the third veil into a supernatural relationship with God. And so the woman gives birth to this man-child. Over in Isaiah, the 66th chapter, I think it is, it talks about the woman prevailing and bringing forth. and a nation born in a day. Talking about all of these same things. And yet, the man felt it caught up. Caught up into what? Into the spiritual realm. But it says up, the spiritual realm is a higher realm than we are living in. Caught over into the spiritual realm, caught over into the throne of God. And so, they caught over into the throne of God, and this is the first of that mountain. Now, what is a woman? She flees into the wilderness. Into a place prepared by God. Now, I don't want to go into that yet, but there are many, many scriptures that show this experience. You'll notice that when Peter, after he walked on the water, which is 3 years, the time of ministry of the two witnesses of the man child, then with his supernatural, he comes back. And you notice that Peter sinks beneath the water. What is this? Death, burial, and resurrection. What happens to the two witnesses after their 3 years ministry? Death. Being in the streets of the world for 3 days. The same as Christ, as Jesus ministered for 3 years, they ministered for 3 years. As Jesus was killed at the end of that ministry, they are killed at the end of the ministry. As he was resurrected after 3 days, they are resurrected. As the physical body, so the spiritual body. Are you listening? All right. And so they come back to the boat, and the Gospel of John says immediately they're on the other side. Here's the taking away of the woman over into the spiritual realm. You see, Adam was born first. He received his body first. And then the woman received her body. And so the man child received his glorified body. He ministered for 3 years as the woman is protected and taken care of. And then he received her glorified body. And they too become one. Mount Zion and Jerusalem. Mount Zion is within Jerusalem, and Zion is a type of the last day ministry, and the woman is a type of the church. Are you with me? And so Zion and they, a city, not forsaken, the holy of the Lord, the Bible refers to, will minister for the glory of God. All right, now I want you to see a picture here, and we won't go any farther than that, maybe later as God directs. I want you to go back to the 10th chapter of Revelation. Because I said we were going to talk about Jesus coming back to the boat. All righty? You'll notice here it says, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud. Now I say this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll understand why. You say, but it says an angel. Well, if you'll look with me in the 19th chapter of Revelation, you'll find here that John said, and I fell at the 10th verse of the 19th chapter, and I fell at his feet to worship him. What, the angel? And not the angel we're talking about, but an angel. The angel that was ministering. He, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. Now, angels are not fellow servants. They are not brethren. They are ministering spirits for the saints of God. But what he saw here, and what you'll find as you study in the Word of God, especially Revelation, is that the angels, God is actually giving you a picture of what's going to happen in the Holy Ghost. The Gospels are the outer court. And speak of salvation. And the outer court of this tabernacle speaks of salvation, the brazen altar, and so forth, and the sacrifice. The epistles are how we as born-again Christians are to be filled with the Holy Ghost and how we're to live. And Revelation is the Holy of Holies. And so what they see here is a man that has his glorified body. Christ in you, the hope of. We shall be like him. Is he faded out something? The struggles of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed where? in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
I always like to say that Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration was turned right side out. Not, you know, we always say turned it wrong side out. But he was turned right side up. And we saw through the fleshly veil, the outer court, and we saw through the veil of the holy place, and we saw into the holy of holies, the glory. The presence, the suffering of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. All right. Now, here, he starts to fall down and worship this angel, and the angel says, "Fear not, I'm one of your brethren." Now, to let anything be established by two or three witnesses, let's go over in the 22nd chapter and the 8th verse, and it says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, Thou doest not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophet, of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." And so again, you see that what is happening in the Holy Ghost. And so back with the 10th chapter here of the book of Revelation, we find that this angel is not an angel at all, but who is he? Well, first of all, he's clothed with a cloud. "This same Jesus that you see go shall come in like manner." How did he go? He went in the cloud. He will be coming back with a cloud. All right, that's number one. Okay? And a rainbow was upon his head. The rainbow, first of all, speaks of the promises of God, if you please. The promises of God. And over in the 4th chapter of Revelation, in the 3rd verse, and it says, "He that set up, was to look upon as a jasper and as a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne, and a type like unto an emerald." And so here is that rainbow, or he coming back with the fullness of the promises, the inheritance that is the saints, a position in him. Glory be to God. All right. And so the had a rainbow upon his head. And his face was, as it were, the sun. And if you will go with me over in the 1st chapter of Revelation, in the 16th verse, in the latter part of it, it says, "And his countenance was as shineth in his strength." And this is describing the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." That's three. The cloud, the rainbow, and now the face shining as the sun. "And his feet as a pillar of fire." All right, this angel has feet as a pillar of fire. Back in the 1st chapter, in the 15th verse, "And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." And so now we have the cloud, the rainbow. We have the face. We have the feet. "And in his hand was a little book opened." In his hand was a little book. What is this little book? Well, I call it the abstract title deed to this earth. You see, when God created man, he gave Adam and Eve dominion over all that he had made. But Satan came along and took that title deed away from him, and he became the god of this world. And so when Jesus was crucified, he went into the bowels of the earth. I like to think of him walking right up to Satan and saying, "Give me the book. You no longer in charge. You no longer have the title deed to this earth." And he took it out of his hand. And now we find this little book in the book of Revelations, in the 5th chapter of Revelation. It says, "I wept much because no man was found worthy," the 4th verse, "to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns
and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth into all the earth. And I think that article that was in your paper on the seven spirits was an excellent article, my brother. It's beautiful. Here is the little black book, or the little book, the abstract title. And this one coming has clouds, rainbow, a face like the sun, feet like a fire, and I got the wrong chapter there. And he had in his hand a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. You see, he is no longer the lamb, but he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so we have here describing this angel. And remember the angels over in the 19th chapter and the 22nd chapter. John tried to worship both of them. And he said, no, see, thou do it not. I'm thy brethren. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to the boat, you see. And it describes him with the cloud, the rainbow, the face, the feet, and the little book. And the voice like a lion of the tribe of Judah. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now what was it he wrote? Well, the same thing that Daniel saw. That we was about to write, and the angel said, no, don't write them. They're not to be revealed until the last day. Now, we're living in the last day, so what Daniel saw should be being revealed in this day. And it is this last day ministry. It is the deliverance ministry that is surging. But it is this last day call of God's people to come out of the boat of conformity, out of the boat of tradition, and go on into the Holy of Holies, into a third veil experience. There's going to be a falling away, honey. Those that do not listen, those that will not. It says when the high priest goes in the Holy of Holies, those that are in the outer court have to go on, in the holy place, have to go on back into the outer court. Tongues will cease and knowledge will cease and prophecy will cease when that which is perfect is come. And that which is perfect, if you're going to be a part of it, you're going through the third day. Hallelujah. There's something that I have been burdened about and Brother Lee has been burdened about. And that is the fact that sometimes when we have this great vision, that we forget that there is a prerequisite, a pre-requirement to be a part of it. You must be an overcomer. You must pay the price. And I see so many people with their eyes on the clouds wondering who's going to sit on the right hand and on the left hand as the apostles did. When all the time we should be saying, God, deal with me, cleanse me, allow me to be a part. Allow me to be qualified, for many are called, but you are chosen. And so you don't need to worry. It's nice to know these things, but don't worry about the hereafter. You worry about the now and now. You quit fussing with your husband, but he's unsaved, then keep your mouth shut. You quit fussing with your wife, but you don't know that she's an angel. She might be up in the air all the time and harping about something, but she's still an angel. I don't know, did I say that? God's going to call a people out of the boat. And this 10th chapter is Jesus Christ coming back to the boat. In a mystical way, in a way they did not recognize, when in the fourth watch at night, in the last hours of darkness, to call a people out of a people. Now you can stay in the boat if you want and make the others high, but there is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus that Paul says, not as though I've already obtained, but I'm pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of God. Here was a man with all of the gifts of the Spirit working. Here was a man with great revelation and writing the majority, the lion's part of the New Testament. But he says, I haven't run the race yet. I'm running the course. I'm going to finish it now. But he says, I'm pressing on towards the mark of the high calling
Oh, say amen, Timmy. I want everybody to smile just for a minute. Good. I want to know I'm going to get out of here alive this morning. And so, let's go on just for a second. It says, and the angel which I saw stood standing upon the sea, upon the earth, lifted up his hands to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, and that which should be, that there should be time no longer. But in the day of the voice of the seventh angel. What is the seventh angel? Well, there are many applications. Let me throw this out for a thought. There was an angel for each of the seven churches, weren't there? And it says at the last, let he that heareth, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, in the voice of that seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of the Lord will be completed. The man-child will come out. The truth of God's last day ministry, that Daniel saw, will begin to be revealed. That the seven thunders utter here, that God told John not to write them, will come out in reality. And we go on, and this little book that Jesus has, or our Savior has in his hand, it says, I went unto the angel and said unto him, in the ninth verse, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hands and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Let me tell you, you can shout, you can say praise the Lord in the message that I've given you as we open the little book. But you'll find that when you begin to eat upon it, it'll be sweet in your mouth. Oh, glory, what a calling. You see, what a calling. What a last day hope. Not to be ushered off into some cabin in the sky, but to be used for the glory of God. For a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To be a part of the man-child, joint heirs with him, sitting upon the throne with him, ruling the nations with a rod of iron. Greatly and mightily used of God in a new body, a glorified body, in the spiritual body of Christ. Hallelujah. And it's sweet in the mouth. But beloved, when you start digesting it, and bringing it out into every part of your body, every part of your life, until it must be applied on the job, until it must be applied at home, until it must be applied to that neighbor, until it must be... Amen? Sometimes it's a bitter thing to swallow. Sometimes when you have to say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It can be an awful hard thing to get crowed on. You can saute it, you can fry it, you can cook it. It's still crowed. God is calling for a people to separate themselves. Holiness is not out of fashion. It is not necessarily the length of the sleeve and the length of the hair. Although I believe that when the inward is there, the outward will reflect it. Amen. I'm not talking about a Pentecostal law to put you in bondage. But I'm talking about a position in Jesus Christ where you will show forth his glory and you will have that hope burning within you and God's hand be upon your life and say, my child, get out of the boat. Get out and taste of the supernatural. Not in part, not a withered hand, because on that Sabbath day the withered hand will be stretched forth. And on that Sabbath day the word of God will be read in the house of God. The truth will be revealed. And the woman that is bowled over that can only see earthly things will suddenly be straightened up and see the heavenly vision and the heavenly call. The miracles that Jesus did on the seventh day are a beautiful picture of what he's going to do on the Sabbath day. But, beloved, it will be in the man-child that is caught over into the throne of God that will have the authority and the power and the glorified body. And then the woman that has fled into the wilderness to a place prepared by God will come later, and she also will be changed after that 3 years of ministry. After Peter's walked on the water, and after that last day ministry is killed and laid in the grave 3 days, just as Jesus did. After it ministers for 3 years, just like Jesus did, and then is killed and lays in the grave for 3 days, and then is resurrected, Peter sinks beneath the water, the death, burial, and resurrection, and then they come back to the boat, and then the woman is over on the other side. Thanks be unto God. Would you bow your head for a moment of prayer? Sweet Jesus, we thank you for your great love, for your ministry here this morning. I feel, Lord, that anointing that abideth within, and the touch upon people's hearts. Let, O Lamb of God, every force and power of Satan be bound that would hinder the message and hinder the recipient from understanding, from chewing upon the nuggets and the truths that have been revealed. Father, let them burn. Let them burn. Let them be brought back and quickened in their mind, Lord, that they may be part of this last day call, the high calling of God in Christ. Father, have your way now. Bless our brother Lee. Bless our brother Chuck Flynn. Bless each speaker, Lord God, and let each one dovetail to bring glory and honor and majesty unto thee. And we'll give you praise and glory forever in the matchless name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.